You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and I just want to take a brief moment to say that it's listener support that is the largest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. We are in our spring member drive. WPR makes a difference in your day, so please give now. Here is the number. It is 888-202-2552. Or go online to WPR.org. Thank you so much for your support during our spring membership campaign. Right now, we're talking about how the coronavirus pandemic is fueling fear and hate in America. Since the first report of COVID-19 on our soil, Asian Americans, especially Chinese Americans, have endured racial and ethnic discrimination. The Asian Pacific Planning and Policy Council has been following this, documenting more than 1,100 reports of hate nationwide in a two-week span. So what do you think can be done to combat racism against Asian Americans? Have you seen racist and hate speech in online posts placing blame for the coronavirus? We're at 800-642-1234. Cindy Ethan Chang is a history professor and director of the Asian American Studies program at UW-Madison. Cindy, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, it's so nice to be back. Thank you.
Help us understand what's going on. Where are the incidents of racism happening here in Wisconsin that have been reported?
Yes, I think for many, what we started to see is that calling the virus, the COVID-19 novel coronavirus, something like Chinese virus or the Wuhan virus, for many, it's supposed to be this, you know, value-free, neutral term that it just means that this is where the virus comes from, and it, you know, nothing should be gained by that. But what we start to see is something different on the ground level, is that something that people believe as a neutral kind of understanding actually is resulting in verbal blame against Asian Americans. And what we see in the state of Wisconsin is that we have numerous verbal blames against for the virus against Asian Americans in Milwaukee. We see tons of reports in Madison, Wisconsin. We see this kind of increased behavior happening in Green Bay, where there's reports of vandalism on Asian markets. And then what we start to see in Marathon County and Wausau in particular are numerous reports that's even more disturbing, of blocking Hmong from entering supermarkets and businesses where they have been spit on and coughed on. And I think here the example in Wausau is particularly noteworthy, given that Hmong are the largest Asian American groups in Wisconsin. They are not Chinese Americans. The history here, many in the state are familiar with. They escaped with the secret war in Laos. And so having these kinds of verbal blame, these kinds of assaults directed on them, you really start to see that calling something like the COVID-19, the Chinese virus, isn't neutral free, they're not neutral value free. They really start to create an atmosphere of permissiveness, that it's okay to assault Asians, you know, in public settings. It's okay to direct these assaults against them.
So these assaults and these verbal attacks, it's not concentrated in one area in Wisconsin, one area anywhere. You're seeing it pervasive around the state.
Yeah, absolutely. You start to see trends. And I think the places that I've noted are, you know, some of the larger, you know, some of the areas with large concentrations of Asian Americans in Milwaukee, Dane County, in Waukesha, Marathon. And you have reports even in, you know, Appleton, Wisconsin, where they talked about in smaller communities where being an Asian American, you're more visible. And there's reports of people feeling heightened sense of fear to go out where they never felt that way before. So I think this kind of atmosphere that's been created by calling the COVID-19 something like the Chinese virus has really created a different kind of atmosphere, one that allows for people to attribute a kind of blame, verbal assault, physical attacks against Asian Americans.
We're talking with Cindy Efen-Chang. She's a professor of history and the director of Asian American Studies at UW-Madison. We're talking about reports of coronavirus discrimination against Asian Americans across the country and here in Wisconsin, with your insights on what you're seeing about hate speech, about attacks online. 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Cindy, UW-Madison tracks bias, racism, and hate incidents that are reported to them. Have they been using that system to track these coronavirus-related incidents?
Well, these are, you know, these reports in large part remain anonymous in terms of the specifics of it. However, the latest tracking information that I have is that since the academic year has started, the UW-Madison has had a total of 99 reports of bias for the campus, but 55, or over half of those reports, are against Asians. And you start to see many of these came after the outbreak of the coronavirus, and many of these also involved the reporting when there was a chalking incident on campus where there were expletives and very xenophobic, racist sentiments that were chalked on our campus. So what we are seeing is that unlike other previous years, we have over half of the bias reports on our campus are against Asian Americans.
What were the repercussions of this chalking incident where the attacks were made with chalk marks on the sidewalk?
Yes, they were on two locations, on the sidewalk and directly on our campus. One was right in front of a convenience store, and there were people who were Chinese Americans that lived upstairs in the apartment. They were so fearful to go back to their place of residence. There's no updates in terms of anybody who's been found responsible or culpable for these chalking incidences. However, the school had sponsored and hosted a virtual town hall meeting that saw a two-day, one for eight from students, one for staff, that saw the one with students an attendance over 450, and the one for faculty and staff over 550 were present to talk about this growing concern for our Asian American communities.
How are these incidents affecting Asian Americans here? What are you hearing?
Oh, it is just the immense sense of fear that people are experiencing is very, very palpable. Going into a supermarket, something that you do on an everyday level, is something, it's not the same anymore. Anytime you walk out, the looks that you get, the questions, the stares, it is a very, very difficult time for many who, to go about their everyday business. In addition to just the overall, I think, unsettling that we all feel during this time.
And students can't come together to talk about it in person at all because of the stay-at-home order. Is that difficult for these students who are separated also from their families?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm really glad you brought that point up. I mean, what we're starting to see, at least around the Madison area, is that for many of the Asian Americans where they, have families in the local area, I think, they have a support system, but we have a very large group, and on most campuses in the state of Wisconsin would have a large, significant mass of international students from East Asia, either from China, from South Korea, but there is a significant critical mass of them. And for them, with the travel ban, they are very much stranded. They do not have the support system of their families. They are alone here. Many of these are very young adults, especially since they came here for schooling. And they are they have to fend for themselves. And they, they fear often for their own safety. And they are the ones who've been reporting many, many verbal attacks, verbal blame attributed to them.
We're talking with UW-Madison history professor and the director of the Asian American Studies program, Cindy Efen-Chang, as our guide to the widespread issues surrounding the coronavirus, the hate speech. Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're discussing anti-Asian American hate in communities here in Wisconsin and around the country. We're looking at the fear, the bias, the blame amid the coronavirus outbreak and how these actions have produced this rash of hate incidents and xenophobia targeting Asian Americans. How do you want your community and elected officials to address hate crimes? Have you been careful about pointing blame inadvertently? How do you discuss who's to blame, what's to blame with a child? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Cindy Yifeng Chang is our guide. She is a history professor and director of the Asian American Studies Program at UW-Madison. So, Cindy, what is law enforcement doing on this front, doing about these incidents? How can law enforcement act here?
I think law enforcement have been very critical in gathering these reports and making them known and sharing them. I think they are really great in terms of tracking statistics. But I think that many of these things, I think we have to address as a community to really look within ourselves and to think. And I think one of the most important things that I would like to also highlight is that as we talk about the racism and xenophobia that's been enhanced by the COVID-19, we have to look at the personal attacks, these verbal assaults, as one form of racism that this pandemic has revealed. The other that is also very pressing is the ones that is part of our everyday that sometimes we forget to take notice, which is the structural institutional forms where what we see is Latinxes, Asian Americans, and African Americans are disproportionately working in service sectors. So they are disproportionately reporting with higher rates of contagion and deaths. What you have statistics is Milwaukee actually is the second leading city in the nation of disparities in African-American deaths, where they account for 26% of the population, but 66% of deaths in Milwaukee. And we have to talk about how this pandemic has revealed institutional racism and classism in terms of access to healthcare, to poor housing and dense living conditions. So I think what we start to see as we talk about this is that it's twofold. We start to see racist and xenophobic attacks in terms of these directed, personalized assaults that has a trend, nationwide trend. But we also have these embedded institutional forms of racism that this pandemic is also revealing that is actually creating, you know, numerous disparities in terms of who gets contracted with the virus and who has access to healthcare.
And this racism and classism and verbal assaults and the hate speech, it's exasperated right now, but it sounds like you're saying it's also been here all along, and now it's just really more pronounced amid the coronavirus pandemic.
Absolutely, and thank you for that. Yes, it's enhanced the things that's there. Like I pointed out from the personal attacks that we see in Wausau County, the community, they understand the Hmong that's been with them. They're not from China. How could they have blame? They're not even closely related. But to be directed for these assaults, to have to attribute verbal blame, you start to see that this is creating an atmosphere where it's okay to, attack anybody who they think is East Asian for something like this. It's okay to attribute blame and to enact their fear on them. And we start to see the everydays of institutional racism that we know, the homeless, the people who don't have access to healthcare, the people who have to work low-paying jobs that we now consider essential workers. We see that these disparities that are institutionalized also play out, that it's not, again, random, that there's a disproportionate amount of those who are poor, who are minoritized populations, also reporting higher deaths and contagion for the virus.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Cindy Yifeng Chang, a professor of history, and she directs the Asian American Studies Program at UW-Madison. We're looking at the reports of coronavirus discrimination against Asian Americans across the country and what that means to people. Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Deborah now, joining us from La Crosse. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. I'm actually a board secretary for the Hmong Cultural and Community Agency here. I am not Hmong, but I want to bring up another issue. Several weeks ago, what we were dealing with were threats of deportation of Hmong and other people of Laotian ancestry. And that had a terrible effect in our community, including young children being afraid that they were going to be deported. Now we have this. And this week would have been our primary fundraiser to keep our agency afloat. We had to cancel that. We have a Hmong educational project every year where every fourth and fifth grader in this district can come in and learn about the history of the Hmong people. That had to be canceled. I'm sorry, I'm upset. But this community of non-Hmong people here have had more than ample opportunities to learn about Hmong history. It's inexcusable that they don't. No.
Deborah, that's all I wanted to say. Yeah, Deborah, thank you for bringing that perspective. Cindy, what are you hearing out of Deborah's story?
Absolutely. And I thank you so much. Here at UW-Madison, we actually also had an event called Stop Deportation. We invited folks from Minnesota, Release Minnesota 8, to our campus to talk about how President Trump is working with the administration, is working to resume relations with Laos to create an en masse deportation of Hmong back to Laos, where many do not have any ties. And this is an incredibly scary time. And I think what we're starting to see is that what you're also pointing to is that the means that we have to gather, to organize, to be in community, to share, is taken away from us during this time. However, I think what you're also saying is the issue is still very dear to our hearts, and that we will always, we will work together to make this issue known as well. And I thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Yeah, I mean, a cultural agency that is really a heartbeat and able to convey so many customs and culture and help with information and sharing is in itself financially strapped and is really compromised in this moment. So things that we might not even think about, that an organization that is trying to bring people together is deeply compromised, Cindy.
Yes. And I think that this is also something what you're both pointing out is that we want to return to a society, right, where we are thoughtful in our actions, that we show empathy and compassion towards each other. And these cultural centers are doing that work in spreading awareness and education. And for us to really think through in this time, if we, you know, all this, I would believe, you know, misdirected blame against Asian American communities in the United States, I think it's really taking our attention away from looking at what are the real causes of this pandemic. How does global capitalism play into this role? How does our treatment of animal husbandry, of wildlife, implicated in this? And I think that we really need to turn our attention to our stewardship of this world, of our environment, in terms of addressing these larger issues. But directing blame against certain things, not addressing deeper institutional structural racism, that is not the way to go. So my thing is, as we return, I hope we join the efforts of these cultural centers in La Crosse to create a world that is more educated and aware, and that we are compassionate, and that we are all in this together. Although we are, you know, the effects of this has deep inequities, but that we are here to support each other.
Cindy, let's turn our attention to online, because people are spending more and more of their time online. What have you seen in terms of social media and the impact on Asian Americans and hate speech there?
Yes, I think the social media has been an important outlet. One, it's allowed people, Asian Americans from across the nation, to share incidences, to make these assaults known. It's allowed people to organize, have petitions. However, online format is also a place where we start to see attacks, another form of attacks against the Asian American community. Here at Madison, for our program, when the chalking incident occurred and we were notified, we immediately wanted to show support for our Asian American community in Dane County and along the around the campus of UW-Madison. And we posted this on our Facebook page. And we are, you know, we're just one program in an institution, but this is probably a post that went viral. It had almost 900 shares.
Wow.
We had over 1,000 responses and almost 200 and 200,000 engagements. And we also had numerous comments. And while the majority were showing solidarity and support, the other comments were incredibly hurtful, xenophobic, and racist. And really, even for me, I couldn't read it too long because it made me scared. And I think that what we gather from this, though, is that what I hope that we do is use the comments that were there in the future, we can use these as teaching materials to really rethink and to archive, you know, what people are doing at this time, what are the responses, and to really grow and learn from that.
Well, Cindy, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Cindy Ifan Chang is a history professor and director of the Asian American Studies Program at UW-Madison. Coming up, we talk with Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call about how the coronavirus has affected the state Justice Department. Take your questions about how law enforcement is adjusting to these challenging times. Stay with us for Attorney General Call right after this news update here on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Just a quick mention here. It is our spring member drive at WPR. And in recent weeks, we've been your constant companion for essential news and talk conversations that bring us all closer together and into each other's homes virtually. So whatever your reason for giving, this spring member drive is your time to support the service that you rely on. Make your gift now. Here is the phone number, 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, you have a line to Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call. Municipal clerks across Wisconsin have tallied votes from last week's election. The legislature released its coronavirus response bill, a proposal it plans to vote on starting today in first-of-its-kind virtual sessions where most lawmakers will be dialed in remotely. And the Justice Department is trying to crack down on racist incidents related to the coronavirus, which is where we begin this half hour. What do you want to ask the Attorney General about the role of the Justice Department amid this pandemic? We're at 800-642-1234. Attorney General Josh Call, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
As we've been talking about this hour, there have been reports of racist and xenophobic attacks here in Wisconsin, ranging from the shocking incident at UW-Madison that called the coronavirus, quote, the Chinese virus, to physical attacks against Hmong Americans. You came out and condemned these attacks, but what specifically can the Justice Department do here?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, it's been really awful to see some of these racist attacks here in Wisconsin, but also around the country in the wake of the coronavirus outbreak. And I think the most important thing that we all can do, whether we're public officials or people who observe these kinds of incidents, is speak out against them and make clear that this kind of hateful speech is never acceptable under any circumstances. And it's really troubling now as we're working to fight the coronavirus. We need people to be working together, working in the same direction. And people are dealing with a lot of things right now, and adding this to anybody's what they're struggling with already really is unacceptable. We do have hate crime statutes in Wisconsin, and one of the things that we talked about in our release on this topic was what those statutes are. If there's a crime committed based on one of a variety of factors, including race, that can lead to a penalty enhancement. And I think it's important for people to be aware of that. But also just speaking out and making clear that this kind of speech is wrong, I think, is really important.
Have there been any arrests made in any one of these incidents?
I'm not aware of any arrests having been made in Wisconsin. And, you know, some of this conduct, although it is awful conduct, is not illegal in and of itself. But But it's important for people to know that if they are committing crimes on the basis of somebody's race or a number of other factors, that they do face those enhanced penalties.
You've been in contact with leaders here in Wisconsin's Asian American communities about these incidents and the discrimination they're seeing. What are they telling you, and how many race-based hate crimes go unreported that we don't know about?
What they told me is that there was a real sense of anxiety among people who are members of their organizations. There's already this huge sense of anxiety that people, I think, across the world right now have as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. And this is an additional layer on top of that, and it's the last thing that anybody needs. And so they thought it was important that people speak out and condemn these kinds of actions. The other thing that, we talked about, one of the things we talked about, is that we don't have a great sense of exactly how many of these incidents are going on or where they're going on. And so one of the things that I want to do and I encourage them to do is to contact local law enforcement if they become aware of these kinds of incidents, so that, first of all, if there is appropriate investigation, that can happen. And then secondly, so that we get a better understanding of exactly how frequent this is. But that being said, given how many stories we've seen in reports on this, both here and around the country, it's clear that this is a problem and that we need to make sure we're speaking out on it.
We're talking with Attorney General Josh Call about issues around the coronavirus and how the Justice Department is responding. With your questions for the Attorney General at 800-642-1234. Attorney General, let's move on to the April 7th election. Democratic State Representative Gordon Hintz has asked the State Elections Commission and your Justice Department for a formal investigation into the absentee ballots and what came of them. What tactics will you approach such an investigation?
Yeah, first, this election should not have happened the way that it did. I agreed with Governor Evers' decision to attempt to delay the election. And, because of the way that this unfolded, there were, a number of challenges related to this election. There's the one you mentioned. There's the fact that there were only five polling places open in Milwaukee on Election Day. This is just not how we should be conducting our democracy. Now, when there are problems with the elections process, usually it's the Wisconsin Elections Commission that oversees examinations and what was going on with the elections. I think there's also been a call for an investigation by the U.S. Postal Service into incidents that were happening with the mail. Where a case would potentially get referred to the Wisconsin Department of Justice is if there was an allegation of some sort of criminal activity relating to any aspect of voting. That's something that my office could take a look at. So I don't comment in specifics on ongoing investigations, but those are the circumstances in which a case potentially could come to us.
Let's look at jury trials for a moment. The Wisconsin court system, they've suspended while, we deal with the coronavirus. How is that affecting due process and the rights of the accused?
The justice system, like, businesses across the country, like government agencies across the country, has taken a number of measures to respond to the coronavirus and to make sure that we are socially distancing so we can help spread the spread of this disease. And one of the things the courts have done is they've instituted a number of remote proceedings. And so a lot of court proceedings that are taking place now are happening remotely. And they also, as you mentioned, delayed jury trials in Wisconsin. This is a really unusual thing to do. And, it's important that our justice system continues to move forward. But we've also got to balance that with the safety of those who are involved in the process, including, jurors who are sitting usually within 6 feet of each other when they're in the jury box. So this is an extraordinary measure, but it's one that I think is appropriate given the extraordinary circumstances we face.
Are suspects at all who have been charged, are they awaiting trial in a jail somewhere?
There are people who are awaiting trial here and again around the country. What a lot of law enforcement agencies have done is taken pretty aggressive measures to make sure that they are reducing the populations in their jails or in the state prisons, so that we do what we can to avoid having COVID-19 outbreaks in those facilities. So in the case of people awaiting trial, you know, certainly what I'm hoping we're seeing in counties around the state is that people are only being detained if there is a real need to do it because of concerns to public safety relating to them potentially committing another crime, because the situation we're in right now creates a different type of safety concern than we normally have, which is the concern that the coronavirus is going to be spread if we have overcrowded facilities.
Let's bring in a call now. Philip is joining us from Madison. Hi, Philip. What is your question?
How's it going today? Hi, Josh Bell. What we're looking at on April 24th at 1 p.m., there's a thing circulating on Facebook right now. It's called Wisconsin Freedom Rally. Hashtag reopen Wisconsin. And I'm wondering what that is going to look like if all of a sudden there's hundreds or thousands of people flooding the state capitol for this rally on April 24th that just started circulating this morning. And what your opinion on that might be.
Philip, thank you for the call. Attorney General, sounds like a rally being planned on the 24th as we have the Safer at Home orders.
Yeah, I believe that's the day actually that the Safer at Home order expires, and I know that the governor has indicated that he's going to look at the science and make decisions about what to do with that order going forward based on what he sees in the data. You know, what I think is really critical to get across here is that to fight the coronavirus successfully, we all have a role to play. There are steps that we all can take, and some of them are things that are as simple as making sure you wash your hands thoroughly and frequently, covering your coughs. But right now, the best measure that we have at our disposal until we have a vaccine is to implement social distancing. And, you know, it's too early to say exactly how this is working out, but it certainly appears as though the spread of the coronavirus has really slowed as a result of social distancing measures that have been implemented here and in most states in the country. I believe most, but not quite all yet, have stay-at-home orders. And what's critical is that we completely stamp this out to the extent that we can right now. If there is continued spread of the coronavirus, it's going to mean that we need to implement these social distancing measures longer until we're finally able to really slow the spread of this disease. So I encourage people to help us work to make sure we reduce the level of coronavirus as low as we can so that we're able to reopen society faster and more fully sooner.
We have Attorney General Josh Call on the line discussing the role of the Justice Department as the state responds to the coronavirus pandemic. You can join in. Do you think law enforcement should be enforcing the stay-at-home order? What kind of precautions should our law enforcement officers be taking when they're in the community interacting with residents? Be part of this at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. We'll return in a moment with Attorney General Call here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have Attorney General Josh Call on the line as we discuss the work of the Justice Department during this pandemic. Florida's Attorney General has put out a warning about what's called Zoom bombing. It's a trend in hacking into virtual meetings around the country. Happened to a Milwaukee Election Commission meeting Sunday that was using the video conferencing software Zoom, and it caused an abrupt end to the open meeting. Are you concerned about Zoom bombing or scams amid the pandemic? What do you want the Justice Department to look into? Still time for you at 800-642-1234. And Attorney General Josh Call stays with us. Attorney General, the FBI has put out a warning against Zoom bombing and where it's, you know, uninvited guests crash video conferencing. Is there anything the Justice Department or law enforcement can do about this?
You know, I'm not aware of any cases that have been brought in Wisconsin relating to Zoom bombing at this point. One of the things I have seen, though, is that, you know, as lots and lots of people began using Zoom after stay-at-home orders were issued and people really began socially distancing. You know, there have been some security flaws with Zoom that were exposed. And as a result of that, my understanding is that Zoom has put out updates and that there are now password-protected Zoom meetings. And so we certainly encourage people to stay up to date on what's going on with that technology and to take advantage of the protections that are out there. And people who are conducting this kind of activity should know that it is disruptive for people. It, you know, in the case of the Milwaukee Election Commission, disrupted the public business that was going on there. And, you know, it certainly, depending on the circumstance of the case, it's something that could lead to an investigation.
You've joined 22 other attorneys general in calling out scams and what could possibly compromise people during this pandemic. What are you most concerned about there?
I think it's really important for people to be aware that scammers take advantage of situations where there's significant uncertainty, like the crisis that we're in right now. And there are a variety of ways they do that, and it's important that people are being thoughtful and careful when they are doing things like contributing to charity. There may be a solicitation for a charity that's actually a fraudulent charity that's popped up to try to take advantage of this crisis. So I encourage Wisconsinites to go to the Division of Financial Institutions website, the Department of Financial Institution, where they have a list of registered charities in Wisconsin. And we've put out some tips on things that people can do to make sure that their charitable donations are going where people intend for them to. You could also be getting emails or texts that include malicious attachments or links. So it's important to be careful about what you click on if you get an email or a text. And you could just get solicitations from people. So, you know, we suggest that people rely on trusted sources like government websites or websites for organizations that they know, and that they take some basic precautions to make sure that they're not being scammed.
We know that personal protective equipment, masks and gloves, is in short supply for medical workers. Do law enforcement agencies have enough PPE right now?
No, they don't. And, you know, a few weeks ago, we led a multi-state letter. I believe there were 16 attorneys general who joined that letter, calling on the federal government to use the tools at its disposal to increase the production of personal protective equipment. There are really three areas where we need to continue to ramp up production. One is supplies for medical situations like ventilators, like ICU beds, so that people who have COVID-19 who go to the hospital are able to get the treatment that they need. Second, we need to make sure that we've got enough personal protective equipment for the people who are on the front lines of the fight against the coronavirus. And that includes medical providers and also first responders who continue to interact with people because from a public safety standpoint, we need law enforcement officers to continue enforcing our laws, and we need other first responders to continue responding to emergencies. And then third, we need to ramp up testing so that we have a better understanding of the scale of coronavirus in the United States and in Wisconsin so that we can work to reopen with fuller knowledge. So I'm hopeful that we'll continue to see increased production. This has happened, unfortunately, in fits and starts, and states right now seem to be competing with each other and with other local and county government agencies to get supplies, and hopefully we'll see a more coordinated effort in the future.
We're talking with Attorney General Josh Call about the issues around the coronavirus and how the Justice Department is responding. Still time for you at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in a call now. Anne is joining us from Campbellsport this morning. Hi, Anne.
Hi, good morning. President Trump has recently said that he has the ultimate power to decide when the country will reopen after the coronavirus pandemic. We also know that very often what he says isn't true. So I am wondering, who has the final power to remove restrictions, the governors of the states or the president?
Attorney General?
Yeah, well, each state has the authority to respond to this emergency as it deems best. And, you know, what we have here in Wisconsin is a safer at home order that's in place. And ultimately, that is a decision for the state to make about how long we keep that order in effect. So that's one issue. And then the second issue is, and this is one of the things that I think gets lost in this dialogue and why it's so critical that we both continue to reduce the spread of the coronavirus, but also get an increase in testing so we have a better understanding of exactly how widespread it is, which is that, you know, people are going to make individual decisions about how they want to go about living their lives. And, you know, I am persuaded that people all around the state and the country want to take actions that are in the best interest of public health. And if they are concerned that by going out, they're potentially going to get coronavirus and that they might pass it along to their family members and their friends and their colleagues, no matter what, you know, any government official says, we're not going to see the kind of return to regular society and regular employment that we all want to see. And so that's why it's so critical that we work to reduce the level of the spread of coronavirus as fully as we can now.
Anne, thank you for the call. Attorney General, I want to make sure we get to this before our time is up. You recently released a statement criticizing Republican leaders in the state legislature for the legislation on the relief bill. You called it another power grab. We had, an 87-page bill released yesterday by Republicans. What do you make of this emergency relief?
Well, I was glad to see that the portion that would have shifted control to cut budgets for agencies was removed from being basically entirely in the hands of the Joint Finance Committee. To me, this is another example of Republican legislative leaders trying to bring more power into their own hands. And I was glad to see that that got dropped from the bill that was introduced. The last thing that anybody should be doing right now as we're working to respond to the coronavirus is using it as a way to try to expand political power for one group or even for one branch of government. So I think it's critical that we have legislation that's going to help provide financial security to Wisconsinites, and that's going to help make sure that Wisconsinites who need health care urgently are able to be covered with insurance. That's not only in the interest of people who develop COVID-19, but it's in the interest of every Wisconsinite, because if we can get people medical treatment and they're less likely to spread coronavirus, that's in the interest of all of us. So I'm hopeful that we'll see some meaningful legislative action soon.
Attorney General, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
That was Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call. Just ahead, it is On Point, the race to develop a coronavirus vaccine. How do you quickly develop a safe, effective vaccine in the middle of a historic global pandemic? On Point will ask researchers who are trying to do just that. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.